Those who wait on the Lord don't go anywhere. They don't move forward. They don't turn back. They wait. Wait for God to answer. Wait for the Father to provide. Wait for the Avenger to act. For the hurt to stop. For the door to open. But sometimes, in the waiting, in the stubborn trusting without seeing, we find an unexpected moment, and then another, an unreasonable peace, a surprising joy, a shocking sense that the answer matters less than being loved by the one we're waiting for. And so, we worship in the waiting. And we wait a little more.
Good evening, guys. Welcome to our Wednesday Rewind from Believer City Church. We welcome you guys if you're out and about. I know we've got small groups meeting in various locations. We got three groups meeting in Menominee. We've got a group meeting in Colfax, a group meeting in Woodville, at Bonnie's Cafe in Glenwood City. We've also got our campus churches meeting with us tonight as they're off for spring break. Welcome, guys, to our Believer City Rewind. I know we've got River Falls joining us, as well as UW Stout's campus group joining us for the evening. So we pray this would be a great opportunity to discuss these things one-on-one. Let's pray, and we'll get into it. God, we do thank you for bringing us together for this time. We know that you have a purpose and a plan in these meetings, and so we ask right now that your Holy Spirit would be present and that you would do your work in your time in our lives. We pray that as we gather in these small group discussions, that it would be an opportunity, as the Bible says, iron sharpens iron. We pray that this would be an opportunity that we would be able to sharpen each other, to help each other, equip each other, encourage each other, and to be brothers and sisters, discussing openly, transparently, being vulnerable, being honest, that we might be your family. We thank you, Lord, for this time. We pray you'd bless it. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 16 if you're not there already. We are in our Genesis series, and we've been covering the story of Abram. Now, back in Genesis 12, this goes back some weeks ago, God had made some promises to this man named Abram. God said, I'm going to make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And in you, all the families of the entire earth shall be blessed. Then, just a few weeks ago, in Genesis 15, God confirmed his promises to Abram with a covenant. And he said this. He said, I'm your shield. God speaking to Abram. He says, I'm your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Then he says, your very own son shall be your heir. And he tells Abram, look toward the heaven and number the stars. If you're able to count them, so shall your offspring be. At that point, Abram believed the Lord. And the Lord counted it to Abram as righteousness. Abram believed the Lord. He had faith in God. Now we think from this point forward, from here on out, it'd be smooth sailing, right? He had all the promises of God. Easy peasy. Rainbows and unicorns, right? But we turn the page to Genesis chapter 16, and we see that Abram's faith would take some wrong turns. He'd hit some major road bumps, and he had a pretty big detour. Let's pick it up in verse 1. In Genesis 16, we read, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, 'Behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her.' And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in this land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived." Though this was acceptable in the culture, we discussed on Sunday that it was not God's plan from the beginning. One man and one woman were to become one flesh. That's in Genesis chapter 2. But, like Abram, our faith, and especially over time, is a work in progress. Our faith is under construction in this life. And if you've ever done any construction, it takes longer, a lot longer. It takes more effort, a lot more effort and investment than ever originally intended. And our faith, it's a construction project. Here, Abram and Sarah had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan. And God had promised them a long time ago, 10 years ago, that he would make them a great nation. But they still had no children, and Sarai was past her childbearing years. Their patience ran out. It was time to move. Gang, sometimes time itself is our biggest test. Sometimes the greatest challenge to our faith is waiting. We live in a microwave, fast food, watch now, click to buy generation. Today we have free 2-day shipping from Amazon. We have 1-hour photos from Walmart. We have online dating, DoorDash, and curbside pickup. And gang, we've got an app at our fingertips to make it all happen. No, today patience is no longer a virtue. Not in our culture today. Today it's about my way, right away, or the highway. But that's not the way our God works. Nor is it the way that God deals with us as his children. Isaiah says, "God's ways are not our ways." In the Psalms we read, in Psalm 27:14, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." In Psalm 46:10, God says, "Be still. Be still and know that I am God." Then again in Psalm 37:34, "Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you." But instead of waiting, we take control and we move ahead, and then suffer the consequences of operating completely outside of God's will. And that's what happens here, the consequences. In verse 4 and 6, we read, "And when Hagar saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress Sarai." And then jumping ahead to verse 6, "Then Sarai dealt harshly with Hagar, and Hagar fled from her." Now, moving ahead in verse 11, we read that God, the angel of the Lord, tells Hagar, "You shall call his name Ishmael." And then going on in verse 12, we read, "He shall be a wild donkey." Literal translation, a wild donkey of a man, and his hand will be against everyone. And everyone's hand is going to be against him. And he shall dwell over against his kinsmen, his brothers and sisters. See, Ishmael was the consequence of Sarai and Abram not waiting on God. Who is Ishmael? We discussed this on Sunday. Shortened version, he's recognized as an important prophet today by Muslims. He's considered to be an ancestor, direct lineage to Muhammad. He's mentioned as a patriarch over 10 times in the Quran, and he's revered as a founding father to the nation of Islam. See, Ishmael would indeed become a great nation, but it was a nation born outside of God's promise and outside of God's blessing. Became a source of tension in the Middle East that exists to this day. People numbering some 2 billion today who do not recognize Jesus as Lord or Savior. Again, the lesson is that failure to wait on God has consequences. It has consequences. Today, we too were challenged to wait on God. Maybe it's your job with your boss. We live in the great resignation, and now there's quiet quitting and all these different terms because nobody's loyal, nobody sticks around anymore. We don't wait around. We do the same in our churches with our pastors. We church hop from church to church to church because we want it our way right away, or it's the highway. In our marriages, it's the same with our spouses. We want our needs met now, and if they aren't, there's no loyalty, there's no commitment, there's no covenant. We're challenged in our singleness and our loneliness, with our sex life, with our health. All these things challenge us to wait upon God, to trust Him. The question is always before us. Will we trust Him? Will we wait on Him to provide for us and for our future? See, there's things we can do to help this process along, to help in a good way without getting ahead of God. The Bible has a couple verses for us. It says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." All these things, in other words, everything you need in life will be added unto you if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Again, we read in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Are you delighting yourself in the things of the Lord today? Because if you do, you can trust that that promise is true. He will give you the desires of your heart. In fact, He may change the desires of your heart and give you pure, more holy, more righteous desires than you've ever had before, but they will be the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has only the best in mind for you? In Genesis 16, Abram and Sarai, they didn't believe that of God. They took a wrong turn. They went on a major detour. And because of that, their marriage suffered. Their household suffered. There was strife. There was contempt. There was confusion. and others were unintendedly hurt by their decisions and their actions. Perhaps you know what I'm talking about. But God's plan, as we turn the page, as we go next week to Genesis 17, God's plan for Abram and Sarah would not change. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 16:9 that a man's heart plans his way. And that's kind of what Abram and Sarah did here. They planned a solution. But that proverb goes on and says, but the Lord directs his steps. In other words, the Lord is sovereign over the situation. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. We even see God intervening in an attempt to clean up their mess. We are a lot like Abram, who is the father of our faith. We too can get in the way of God's plan for our lives and make a big mess of things. But God doesn't wash his hands of us or the messes that we make. In fact, he enters into them. He still calls. He still pleads with us. Romans 8:28 is a familiar verse. Just listen. It says, all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things. Do you love God today? Is he calling you to him? All things will work together for the good. It doesn't mean you won't have some bruises and some scars and some consequences to deal with, but God's going to work all things together for good. He's got a plan despite your foolishness. He loves you. Tonight, if you're faithfully struggling and waiting upon God and he hasn't come through for you and it's been 10 years, trust him. He cares for you. Or if you've taken the wrong turn and you find yourself tonight on a major detour, trust him. He cares for you. The answer is the same. Today, from this point going forward, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. He shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. God sees you. God sees you tonight. You know what? He knows how you feel. Probably better than you do. Trust him. Trust him with all of it. For he cares for you. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the opportunity now to go into small groups, and we ask that you would go with us and you would help us to discuss these things openly, transparently, vulnerably, honestly with one another. And that you would help us to see your hand in these things and help each other in that process too. You're a good God. Go with us now. In your name we pray. Amen.